The realm believed their Alpha King had perished in the Northern Crusades, leaving behind nothing but a rusted crown. They were wrong. Monsters are rarely born. Rather, they are forged in chains. Soon, a single stolen melody from an ordinary girl would unearth the kingdom's darkest, most violent secret. The year was 1412, during the bitterest winter the barony of Ravenshire had seen in a century. The kingdom was in mourning, or so the Lord Regent demanded. King Dominic of House Wycliffe, the fierce and beloved sovereign, had supposedly perished on the battlefields of the High Reaches. In his absence, his cousin, Lord Regent Emeric Hastings, had seized the throne, plunging the realm into an era of terror, starvation, and paranoia. But history is written by the victors, and the truth is often buried in the dark. In this case, it was buried exactly 400 feet below the earth, in the inescapable lower dungeons of the Ravenshire Citadel. Adeline suppressed a violent shiver as the heavy iron door slammed shut behind her, the echo reverberating through the cavernous, pitch-black corridor. She was 20 years old, a mere apothecary's assistant, whose only crime was harboring a wounded loyalist soldier in her cellar. For her treason, Emmerich's inquisitors had beaten her, stripped her of her heavy winter cloak, and thrown her into the abyss, a specialized cell block reserved for the dead and the damned. Enjoy the company, witch. Captain Reynard sneered through the small grated window of the heavy oak door, before plunging the corridor into darkness. The only light came from a single, sputtering torch mounted on the far wall of the stone hallway. Adeline crawled backward until her spine hit the freezing, damp stone of her cell. The air down here was unbreathable, a suffocating mixture of sulfur, rotting straw, and the distinct metallic tang of fresh blood. She pulled her bruised knees to her chest, trying to preserve whatever body heat she had left. Then she heard it. It started as a low, guttural vibration that seemed to shake the very foundation of the citadel. It wasn't human. It was the sound of a nightmare drawing breath. Adeline froze, her breath hitching in her throat. Slowly, her eyes adjusted to the gloom. Across the narrow corridor, directly opposite her cell, was another enclosure. Unlike hers, which had iron bars, this cell was reinforced with massive, spell-forged steel beams, thick as tree trunks. From the shadows of that cell, two colossal amber eyes opened. They glowed with an unnatural, predatory luminescence. A monstrous snarl ripped through the silence, followed by the deafening crash of heavy chains. The creature hurled itself at the bars. Adeline screamed, scrambling backward as massive clawed paws the size of bucklers swiped through the gaps in the steel. The beast was gargantuan, easily 8 feet of rippling muscle, matted midnight black fur, and razor-sharp fangs. It was a wolf, but not a natural one. This was a lycanthrope of ancient, terrifying proportions. The creature thrashed against its restraints, foaming at the mouth, its roars echoing with a feral, mindless agony. Sparks flew as the massive chains binding its neck and wrists ground against the stone. Adeline clamped her hands over her ears, tears streaming down her dirt-streaked face. She was going to die down here. If the cold didn't take her, the sheer terror of this monster would. The beast slammed its head against the bars, an act of pure, self-destructive madness, desperately trying to break free. It was in pain, endless, agonizing pain. Panic threatened to consume her, but then a strange, desperate instinct took over. When Adeline was a child, frightened by the violent thunderstorms of the coastal regions, her mother would sing to her. It was an old, forgotten tune. a lullaby supposedly passed down from the ancient queens of the realm. Without thinking, Adeline closed her eyes, swayed slightly against the freezing wall, and opened her trembling mouth. Her voice started as a fragile, broken whisper. "Sleep now. The crimson sun goes down. The silver moon claims the crown. Rest your claws. Lay down your dread. Let the stars weave your bed." The beast paused. A low growl rumbled in its chest, a warning. But Adeline didn't stop. She forced her voice to project, finding a steady, haunting melody that cut through the darkness of the dungeon. "Shadows fall, but do not weep. Even wolves must find their sleep." The transformation in the creature's demeanor was instantaneous and terrifyingly unnatural. The frantic thrashing ceased. The massive black wolf took a step back, the heavy chains dragging across the floor. Its ears, pinned back in aggression, slowly twitched forward. The glowing amber eyes blinked, the feral madness swirling within them momentarily breaking, replaced by a flicker of sheer, unadulterated confusion. Adeline opened her eyes. The wolf had lowered its massive head, pressing its wet, scarred snout as close to the bars as the chains would allow. It let out a pathetic, high-pitched whine, a sound so deeply sorrowful that it shattered Adeline's fear, replacing it with a profound, aching pity. She continued humming the melody, crawling slowly toward the bars of her own cell. The beast watched her every movement, its chest heaving. It didn't lunge. It didn't roar. It simply laid its massive body down on the cold stone floor, its eyes fixed on the fragile human girl who dared to sing in the dark. For the first time in years, the abyss was quiet. Adeline sang until her voice grew hoarse, and as the last note faded, the monstrous wolf closed its eyes, slipping into a troubled, exhausted slumber. For 5 days, Adeline and the beast existed in a delicate, silent truce. Once a day, the heavy iron door at the top of the stairs would open, and a bucket of stagnant water and a crust of moldy bread would be kicked down the steps by Captain Reynard. He never came close. The guards were terrified of the lower levels. Adeline, starved and weakening, would break her bread in two. She would toss the larger half across the corridor into the beast's cell. At first, the wolf ignored it, too consumed by the agonizing burns on its neck. But by the third day, hunger won. It carefully ate the bread Adeline offered, never taking its golden eyes off her. She noticed things about the creature as the hours dragged on. It wasn't just a monster. It possessed a startling intelligence. When she shivered in the freezing drafts, the wolf would pace, agitated, eventually lying as close to her side of the bars as possible, as if trying to offer its radiant body heat across the corridor. But the most horrifying discovery came on the fourth day, when the torchlight hit the wolf's restraints just right. "They're silver," Adeline whispered, her eyes widening in horror. The heavy collars around the wolf's neck and wrists weren't iron. They were pure, unalloyed silver, heavily etched with intricate runic bindings. For a lycanthrope, silver was pure poison. It didn't just burn, it seared into the bone, causing a perpetual state of agonizing necrosis. Whoever had imprisoned this creature didn't just want it trapped, they wanted it to suffer eternally. Worse, the runes were designed to force the shift, locking the victim in their wolf form, trapping their human consciousness behind a wall of feral, blinding agony. "Who did this to you?" she murmured softly, pressing her hand against the cold iron bars. The wolf let out a low rumble, closing its eyes. It remembered the lullaby. It remembered her voice, but the silver fogged its mind, making the memories jagged and painful. The answer to Adeline's question came on the evening of the sixth day. The heavy oak door at the top of the stairs didn't just open, it was thrown wide. The heavy footfalls of multiple men echoed down the stone steps. Adeline scrambled to the back of her cell, hiding herself in the deep shadows. The wolf instantly stood, the hair on its spine bristling as a deafening, blood-curdling snarl ripped from its throat. Torches illuminated the corridor, banishing the darkness. Three heavily armored guards flanked a tall, aristocratic man draped in a lavish, fur-lined velvet cloak. It was Lord Regent Emmerich Hastings. Emmerich stepped forward, holding a perfumed handkerchief to his nose, his eyes fixed on the massive black wolf, with a mixture of disgust and sadistic triumph. "Still fighting, cousin?" Emmerich sneered, his voice dripping with venom. Adeline stopped breathing. "Cousin?" The wolf threw itself at the bars, the silver chains pulling taut with a sickening crack. The beast roared, snapping its jaws inches from Emmerich's face, trying to tear the regent apart. Emmerich flinched but held his ground, a wicked smile spreading across his pale face. "Look at you," Emmerich mocked, pacing in front of the cell. "The great Alpha King, the invincible beast of the north, reduced to a mindless, rabid dog in the bowels of your own castle. I must admit, the silver-laced wolfsbane in your wine was a stroke of genius on my part. The realm wept for you, Dominic. They held a beautiful funeral. I even shed a tear." Adeline's hands flew to her mouth to stifle a gasp. Her heart hammered against her ribs like a trapped bird. King Dominic. The king wasn't dead. He was the monster in the cage. The royal bloodline of Wycliffe carried the ancient lycanthrope gene, a closely guarded state secret known only to the highest echelons of the nobility. They were protectors, alphas bound by honor. But Emmerich, a lesser cousin with no wolf blood, had coveted the crown. He couldn't just kill Dominic. An alpha king was nearly immortal. So he trapped him in his beast form with silver, locking away the man and leaving only the monster to rot in the dark. "The northern lords are rebelling," Emmerich continued, casually inspecting his manicured nails. "They suspect foul play. I came down here to see if perhaps you had finally died of the silver poisoning so I could present your corpse and claim you were killed by wild beasts. But you are stubborn, just like your mother." At the mention of his mother, the wolf's roar turned into a tortured howl. "Starve him," Emmerich ordered the guards, turning on his heel. "No more water. Let the silver finish the job. If he isn't dead in a week, I'll come down here and slit his throat myself." The men turned and marched back up the stairs. The heavy iron door slammed shut. The locks engaged. Silence fell over the dungeon once more, save for the ragged, agonizing breathing of the true king. Adeline remained frozen in the shadows for a long time. Her mind raced. The man she had mourned, the king who had brought prosperity to the realm before Emmerich's tyranny, was lying 10 feet away from her, chained like a rabid animal. She looked at the wolf. Dominic had collapsed onto his side, the burst of adrenaline fading, leaving only the excruciating pain of the silver eating into his flesh. His golden eyes found hers in the dark. There was no feral rage in them now. There was only despair. He was giving up. "No," Adeline whispered. She crawled forward, gripping the iron bars of her cell. "No, you don't get to die. Not down here." She inspected her own cell door. The guards had been careless. Captain Reynard, terrified of the beast, hadn't engaged the heavy deadbolt on her door properly. He had only slid the outer latch. Adeline was small, her wrists painfully thin from starvation. She reached her arm through the bars, scraping her skin raw against the rusted iron, her fingers straining toward the latch. It was agonizing. Her shoulder popped, a sharp spike of pain shooting down her spine, but she gritted her teeth. Just a little more. Her fingertips brushed the cold metal of the latch. With a desperate flick of her wrist, she pushed it upward. Clack! The door swung outward with a painful creak. Adeline stepped out into the corridor. She was completely defenseless. She was locked in the abyss with a giant, feral lycanthrope who had been driven mad by torture. But as she stepped in front of his cell, the wolf didn't growl. It watched her, a silent plea in its glowing amber eyes. "I know who you are," she whispered, tears welling in her eyes as she sank to her knees in front of his massive cage. "I know you are the king." The wolf whined, pressing its giant head against the steel bars. Adeline reached her hand through the gaps in the steel. Her small, trembling fingers brushed against the coarse, matted black fur of his cheek. The beast let out a long, shuddering exhale, leaning into her touch. "I'm going to get you out of those chains, Your Grace," Adeline swore, her voice steadying with a newfound, reckless resolve. She looked at the heavy, glowing silver collar locked tightly around his throat. To touch it meant severe burns for a human, but it was the only way to find the locking mechanism. "Even if it burns me to the bone," historians would later search the archives of the realm, trying to piece together the exact events of that night. Some private journals from the era compared Adeline's subterranean nightmare to the real-life imprisonment of noble women like Eleanor Cobham, who was locked away in a damp, freezing castle for treason, stripped of all dignity, and left to rot. But Eleanor never had to face a monstrous lycanthrope, nor did she hold the fate of a kingdom in her bruised, starving hands. Adeline pushed her arm deeper through the steel bars of the Alpha King's cage. The rusted iron scraped the remaining skin from her bicep, drawing fresh blood. But she ignored the stinging pain. Her focus was entirely on the massive, glowing silver collar locked tightly around the wolf's throat. As her fingertips brushed the etched metal, a searing, blinding heat shot up her arm. She gasped, biting her lower lip so hard it bled. The silver wasn't just metal. It was infused with dark, alchemical sorcery designed to boil lycan blood. To a human, it was like touching the surface of a blazing furnace. The great black wolf let out a muffled whimper. Seeing her wince, the beast tried to pull away, forcefully dragging his massive body backward to spare her the pain. Even lost to the feral madness, the king's protective instincts remained intact. He would rather burn for eternity than see this fragile apothecary's assistant hurt on his behalf. "No, stay still," Adeline commanded, her voice trembling but laced with an unyielding iron will. She reached into the pocket of her tattered apron and produced a thick, rusted iron nail she had pried from the floorboards of her own cell days ago. "I sang to you, Your Grace. Now you must trust me." The wolf locked his amber eyes onto hers. He stopped fighting the chains, lowering his massive snout to the freezing stone floor, exposing the heavy lock mechanism of the collar to her reach. Adeline began to hum the lullaby again, the haunting melody floating through the abyss. "Sleep now. The crimson sun goes down. The silver moon claims the crown." She jammed the rusted nail into the intricate keyhole of the collar. The heat radiating off the silver blistered her knuckles, turning her skin a terrifying shade of angry red. "Come on," she prayed to whatever gods still listened in the dark. "Come on." With a violent, snapping twist of her wrist, she forced the final tumbler into place. A sharp, deafening crack echoed through the dungeon. The ancient runes etched into the silver flared with a blinding, violent, violet light. And then the heavy collar split in two, falling heavily to the cobblestone floor. The reaction was instantaneous. A shockwave of pure, unleashed kinetic energy exploded outward, throwing Adeline backward into the opposite wall of the corridor. She hit the stone hard, her vision swimming with black spots. Inside the cage, the monstrous wolf threw its head back and unleashed a roar that shook the very foundations of the Ravenshire Citadel. It wasn't a roar of pain, but of triumphant, earth-shattering liberation. The heavy silver shackles on the beast's wrists shattered into a thousand useless fragments, unable to contain the sudden, explosive surge of the king's restored alpha aura. Adeline watched, paralyzed by awe and terror, as the horrific, bone-cracking process of the shift began. The thick midnight fur receded into the skin. Massive, inhuman limbs shortened and snapped violently into the anatomical proportions of a man. The beast writhed in the shadows, the magic of the curse fighting a losing battle against the sheer, indomitable willpower of the true king. When the agonizing sounds of breaking bone finally ceased, the heavy, ragged breathing of a human man filled the silence. Adeline pushed herself up onto her elbows. In the center of the cage, kneeling amidst the shattered silver, was King Dominic. He was entirely naked, his muscular physique heavily scarred from a lifetime of brutal warfare and the horrific burns of the silver chains. His hair was dark and wildly unkempt, falling over his shoulders, and his broad chest heaved as he sucked in his first breath of free air in months. Slowly, he lifted his head. His eyes were still that piercing, predatory amber, the irrefutable mark of the royal lichen bloodline. Dominic stood up, his towering 6'4" frame imposing even without his crown or armor. He approached the steel bars of his cage. With casual, terrifying ease, he gripped two of the thick steel beams. His muscles bulged, the lichen strength surging through his human form, and he ripped the iron bars apart like they were nothing more than brittle twigs. He stepped out of the cage, the undisputed apex predator of the realm, finally loose. Adeline shrank back against the wall, suddenly acutely aware of how small and vulnerable she was. But Dominic did not look at her with hunger or feral rage. He knelt before her, his massive, scarred hand reaching out to gently take her badly blistered, bleeding fingers. The contrast between his lethal, violent power and the infinite gentleness of his touch made Adeline's breath hitch. "You bled for a monster." Dominic's voice was a deep, gravelly rumble, unused and raw, yet vibrating with undeniable authority. "I bled for my king," Adeline whispered, looking directly into his glowing eyes. Dominic's jaw tightened. He lifted her injured hand, pressing his lips softly to her blistered knuckles. A sudden soothing warmth spread through her hand, the alpha's accelerated healing properties bleeding into her skin through his touch. The blistering pain began to fade almost instantly. "You gave me back my mind," he swore quietly, his gaze locked on hers. "Now, I will give you back your world. Stay behind me." Footsteps thundered down the stone staircase. The explosive sound of the breaking silver had not gone unnoticed. The heavy oak door at the top of the stairs was thrown open, and Captain Reynard rushed in, accompanied by four heavily armed guards carrying crossbows. "What in the hells is happening down?" Reynard's voice died in his throat. He looked down the steps and saw the empty, broken cage. and then he saw the towering, naked man standing protectively in front of the bruised apothecary girl. "Fire!" Reynard shrieked in absolute terror. "Shoot the beast!" Dominic didn't even flinch. As the crossbow bolts flew, the king moved with a blur of supernatural speed. He caught the first bolt midair, snapping the wooden shaft. In a heartbeat, he cleared the distance between the floor and the stairs. Adeline covered her eyes. She didn't want to see the violence. She only heard the wet, sickening crunch of bones, the brief, terrified screams of the guards, and the heavy thuds of bodies hitting the stone. It was over in less than 10 seconds. When Adeline opened her eyes, Dominic was walking back down the stairs, completely unbothered. He wore the thick winter cloak he had stripped from Captain Reynard's broken body, fastening it over his broad shoulders. He reached out his hand to Adeline. "Come, Adeline," King Dominic said, his amber eyes burning with a promise of absolute retribution. "We have a banquet to attend." The great hall of the Ravenshire Citadel was a blinding spectacle of opulence and greed. And Sabhau, high above the starving city, Lord Regent Emmerich Hastings was hosting a magnificent feast to celebrate the eve of his official coronation. The long oak tables groaned under the weight of roasted boar, exotic fruits, and rivers of imported crimson wine. It was a banquet that rivaled the documented extravagances of real-world historical monarchs, a sickening display of wealth while the peasantry froze to death outside the castle walls. Private letters from the era, recovered from the estates of lords like Arthur Wellesley, a loyalist who attended the feast under duress, described the atmosphere as tense and heavily guarded. Emmerich knew he was a usurper, relying on heavily paid mercenary captains rather than the loyalty of the king's traditional guard. Emmerich sat at the head of the high table, draped in ermine and gold, raising his jewel-encrusted goblet to the sycophantic lords and terrified ladies of the court. "To a new era," Emmerich proclaimed, his voice echoing off the vaulted ceilings. "An era of peace, free from the barbaric, outdated bloodlines of the past." The courtiers raised their glasses, murmuring fearful agreements. But before anyone could drink, the massive 20-foot-tall oak doors of the great hall violently exploded inward. The heavy wood splintered, the iron hinges tearing free from the stone walls with a deafening crash. A collective scream ripped through the hall. Musicians dropped their lutes, and lords scrambled backward, knocking over chairs and spilling wine across the immaculate white tablecloths. Standing in the shattered entryway, flanked by the bitter winter wind howling through the corridors, was King Dominic. He was dressed only in the blood-spattered cloak of the dungeon captain, his scarred chest exposed, his dark hair wild. Standing slightly behind him, cloaked in a velvet guard's mantle he had draped over her shivering frame, was Adeline. Complete, suffocating silence fell over the great hall. Emmerich dropped his golden goblet. It clattered against the stone floor, a hollow sound that seemed to echo for an eternity. The Lord Regent's face drained of all color, turning the shade of spoiled milk. He looked like a man staring at a ghost, because in his mind, he was. "Dominic!" Lord Arthur Wellesley gasped from the middle of the room, dropping to his knees instantly. "By the gods, the king is alive!" "Treason!" Emmerich shrieked, his voice cracking with hysteria. He pointed a trembling, ring-covered finger at the doorway. "That is an imposter! A demon taking the king's shape! Guards! Mercenaries! Kill him!" A dozen heavily armored mercenaries drew their longswords and charged down the center aisle, their boots thundering against the stone. Dominic didn't draw a weapon. He didn't need one. He stepped forward, putting himself between the charging men and Adeline. As the first mercenary swung his blade, Dominic's eyes flared a brilliant, blinding amber. A low, guttural growl ripped from Dominic's chest, a sound that vibrated through the floorboards and rattled the stained glass windows of the hall. It wasn't just a sound, it was the physical manifestation of the Alpha Command. A primal, magical shockwave that demanded absolute, terrifying submission. The charging mercenaries froze mid-stride. The sheer, suffocating weight of the king's predatory aura slammed into them. Weapons fell from their numb, trembling fingers, clattering uselessly to the floor. Unable to withstand the dominant pressure of the Lycan king, the mercenaries collapsed to their knees, bowing their heads in primal terror. Dominic walked slowly up the center aisle, his bare feet making no sound on the stone. The courtiers parted like the Red Sea, pressing themselves against the walls, weeping and dropping to their knees in reverence and fear. Emmerich scrambled backward, drawing a silver dagger from his belt. "Stay back! You're a monster! You're a rabid beast!" Dominic reached the high table. He didn't rush. He simply reached out, his massive hand wrapping around Emmerich's throat. He lifted the usurper off the floor with one arm, choking off Emmerich's desperate screams. "I am the beast," Dominic rumbled quietly, leaning in so only Emmerich could hear the promise of death in his voice. "And you forgot to lock the cage." With a sickening twist, Dominic shattered Emmerich's wrist, sending the silver dagger clattering away. He didn't kill him. Death was too quick a mercy for what Emmerich had done. "Throw him in the abyss," Dominic commanded, tossing Emmerich like a broken doll to the floor at the feet of the loyalist guards who were now rushing into the hall. "Bind him in the same silver he used on me. Let him see how long his sanity lasts in the dark." Guards immediately seized the screaming, begging Lord Regent, dragging him out of the great hall toward the very hell he had created. The king turned to face his court. He looked at the terrified, awe-struck faces of the nobility. Then he looked past all of them, his harsh features softening entirely as his eyes found the bruised, exhausted apothecary girl standing by the ruined doors. Dominic walked back down the aisle. The entire court held its breath as the terrifying, invincible Alpha King dropped to one knee before Adeline. "I have reclaimed my throne," Dominic said, his voice carrying clearly through the silent hall. "But a king is nothing without the one who anchored his soul to the light." He reached out, gently taking Adeline's scarred hands in his. "You did not run from the monster in the dark. You sang to him. You bled for him. Will you stay by his side in the light?" Adeline looked at the man who had been a myth, a monster, and a captive. She saw the absolute devotion in his glowing amber eyes. A slow, radiant smile broke across her tired face. "I will sing for you, my king," she whispered softly. "Always." The realm of Ravenshire never forgot the reign of King Dominic and Queen Adeline. The history books recorded them as the fiercest monarchs to ever rule, a legendary union of primal power and unbreakable human compassion. And deep beneath the castle, the abyss remained empty forevermore, a silent testament to the girl whose lullaby conquered the dark. What did you think of Adeline's incredible bravery and the Alpha King's triumphant return? True love and unrelenting courage can break even the darkest, most agonizing curses. If this thrilling tale of royal betrayal, monstrous secrets, and heart-stopping romance kept you on the edge of your seat, don't let the story end here. Hit that like button, share this video with your fellow fantasy lovers, and subscribe to our channel for more epic, real-life, inspired, dramatic stories every single week.